Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 21 of Syncing with ServiceNow. Today is August 14th, 2023. And well, I guess, guys, our podcast is now legal. Oh, come on. I should get a better laugh than that. It's like a dad joke. Nervous. I got nothing. It's like a dad joke. I got nothing except my son, my 14-year-old son. He laughs at everything I say. I can make milk come out of his nose every night at dinner if I want. Well, nice. I've got my group with me, Fred Reynolds, running the Modern Apps Practice. Fred, how's it going?
Going very well. How are you, Andy?
I am doing well. Being back from vacation, I kind of want to go back on vacation, but I do enjoy working, so it's kind of okay.
I can tell you do, because you text when you're on vacation and we talk. So
that's right. I've got Derek Cassis with me. Derek is new to the Modern Apps Practice. Derek, what's your role over there?
Yeah. So officially, I'm the VP of Modern Apps under Fred. Just joined not too long ago, but like last week, or the week before. Time is flying right now when you're having fun, right? So,
well, I set that up because I know you called me last week. We talked someone I was on vacation and said it was the first week in a long time where the week just kind of flew by and you didn't even know what happened.
Yes, that is true. Yeah. I came over, I was at Salesforce for the past 5 years, doing some pretty cool stuff. But it was time for a different approach because I missed getting out and talking to humans and seeing customers and solving problems and whiteboarding. It was a little bit of a change of scenery was required.
Right. Well, glad to have you over here. You're going to have your own podcast on the Salesforce side pretty soon, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Yep, I got to train you to say right after everything. Me and Fred, we just say right after everything.
I've caught Kristen doing it too now, so it's spreading like wildfire around the company. I think Claire did it the other day in marketing. She said right.
Yep. Kristen McDonald's with us. Kristen is one of our chief lead solutions architect. Does it all. Kristen, how's it going?
Fantastic. Thank you.
As Derek and I will be in San Francisco in a couple of weeks. I guess we'll see you out there.
Yes, you're going to be a few blocks from me.
Promise me it's not 97 degrees and humid as heck.
It is always 55 here. Always 55 degrees.
Always 55. Mark Twain has a famous, I listened to a bunch of Mark Twain podcasts recently, and his comment was the coldest winter he ever spent was a summer in San Francisco.
That is accurate.
Yeah. Well, you're still enjoying it though, right?
Yes, I do love it here.
You, yeah. You've been out there windsurfing yet?
No.
Yeah. That's my new thing. I'm a windsurfer. Thought about when Derek and I,
even if it was warm, yeah.
Kite surfing.
I thought, kite surfing. I thought when we're out there, maybe I'll get Derek to give it a shot, see if he likes it.
No, I'm down. I probably won't be able to walk for like 2 weeks if I do that.
All right, so Becky Whiten's with us. Did I get it right?
You did.
I finally got it right. Derek, I've been struggling with Becky. My name's Whiteside. I keep thinking Witten, like Jason Witten, the horrible football player from that, whatever that team is back there.
Oh, wow.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I think we have fighting words when you bring up the Cowboys on this when Becky's on.
Yeah.
Kristen, are you a football fan?
Not really. Although every place I move to, the sports teams there wins. The Atlanta Falcons won the Super Bowl when I moved there. The Tampa Bay, what was it, Lightning won the Hockey Stanley Cup when I lived there in Florida, all places. So yeah, everywhere I go, the sports.
And she doesn't watch it.
And I don't watch it at all.
I think you're safe this year. I don't think San Francisco is going to win, so you're good. I think you'll break that streak this year.
Well, I don't know if that works for college teams or not, but I'd move you to Raleigh, North Carolina in a heartbeat. I want to see some kind of championship before I die. So, Becky, how you doing?
Doing good. Doing good.
That's good. Born and bred Dallas native or Texas native, so Cowboys fan?
Cowboys fan through and through.
Never an Oilers fan?
No, not really.
No, not really.
Even though Houston is a little closer than Dallas, but no, not really.
Yeah, well, growing up here in the Charlotte area, you had the Cowboys and you had the Redskins and you had the Steelers on every weekend on like public airway, TV. So everybody around here, at least at some point, was one or the other. Derek, you grew up in the Connecticut area?
Yep. So, I'm originally from Connecticut. And for some reason, growing up, I was an Oakland Raiders fan. And I finally found out why is because I liked, my mom told me I liked the logo.
Yep.
So, but then when I moved down here, we actually had a football team. I've been a Panthers fan. So
yeah,
I like the way the Raiders dress for the game. See, I would go and dress up because they look pretty cool and scary looking. So I like
the way they dress up for the games. So, and then ironically, you know, what you remember when the Panthers were in the Super Bowl when we played Peyton Manning when he was at Denver, that weekend was when we had the boys. So I was in the hospital with the twins were being born during the Super Bowl. So the one time that they were in the Super Bowl was very memorable.
Yeah. So I'm a Broncos fan. So that's a good full circle for me. So that's what I am as a Bronco fan, always have been. So I had a huge Super Bowl party with everybody who wanted to be a Panthers fan come over for that nice Super Bowl. And I had an obnoxious cowbell that I rang every time the Broncos scored. So everybody was leaving by like halftime. I don't know why, but good riddance.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, hopefully, Fred, you were a Broncos fan back in the really old bad days before Elway got the one championship. That way you can say you lived the good times and the bad times.
Well, we can say that as of last year, so I'm good, yes.
Well, yeah. Do you remember those days when the AFC would play the NFC and you just wondered, would it be 30 or 40 or 50 points they would lose by?
Absolutely, yes.
And poor Dan Marino, maybe the greatest quarterback ever to never win anything.
Yeah, yep.
All right, so the blog for today that the team brought forward is called Four Ways a Strategic Portfolio Management Framework Can Streamline Success. And this is from June 27th of this year. Fred, I'll let you speak now basically about what this means, and then we're going to hand it over to the smart people to help us dive a little deeper. What do you think?
I think that's great. I think there may be a lot more justice as far as setting this up, but the SPM application and ServiceNow is a lot of what the project space is out of, the timekeeping projects or setups. And I'll just speak quickly and we can dive into it because I think all four of the points we'll make through this apply to when we use this and implemented this at where the company I was before. You know, we use this to kick off a lot of workflows and tasks associated with what we were trying to achieve in our project. So again, this is to track your time, to set it up. And again, you can tie it into your finances, which we did not do, but you can tie it into your finances, how much time you have associated to all the tasks, and spun off multiple tasks to help you get there. And all of it really to help you achieve your, you know, your business goals, and as many as that can be.
Yeah. Hey, Derek, in any of your previous experiences, any experience with something like strategic platform management, which, by the way, in the ServiceNow world, acronyms galore. So you may hear them probably called SPM the entire time. So I call it out now as strategic platform management. Derek, any experience with this type of platform?
No. I mean, from a project management platform perspective, I'm kind of curious to learn a little bit about this because most of what I'm used to is just, you know, task tracking, you know, and, you know, if you're late, what does it mean? But it doesn't go into prioritizing. It doesn't go into impact of the business, anything, nothing like that.
Yeah. Okay. Kristen, I'll let you go first. Why is this important?
So a lot of people don't know about ServiceNow's project management tool sets, but it really covers all of the bases in terms of managing projects, whether you're approaching it from a waterfall or an agile or hybrid approach, as we're going to see here in a minute. But it also actually extends much further. So Fred mentioned the financial components, but you can actually track your organizational goals, map those projects to your goals. You can track the actual benefit that was realized from your project. So you're tracking it front to tail, head to toe, you know, however you want to phrase that, and really tracking the benefits all the way through, as well as the costs all the way through. It also comes with an ideas portal and demand management so that you can prioritize according to those benefits and get feedback from your employees. So it really is a very comprehensive project management tool set, and not a lot of people are aware of it. Yeah.
So Becky, I want your take on this too, but I also want to throw out there first, as you answer this, how important is it that this is part of an overall platform that allows you to do all these other things, then tie it back to you? Project management and financials that are associated with all of that?
If that's to me, it's huge in my opinion, because it's all underneath one umbrella, I guess you could say. So you're logged in, you're doing your work into the same instance and can tie all of your tasks and your time against those particular items. So it is really good. One other thing I was going to mention, Kristen pointed it out about demand, idea and demand, but what a lot of people don't realize is it allows employees a portal or a way to be able to mention something. So whether or not it's a problem that they found or something that they think would be good, can go in there, they get rated, and then they may turn into projects. And that's a really good way to bring in more employees and more ideas that they may have or things that might come down the line, and be able to look at those overall for the company.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll use ourselves as an experience here. We just moved to yet another product, not a platform, but a product. But even as we made that move, we expect sometime in the next 2 years to have to revisit this and eventually move to SPM for Zintegra internally. Because as we grow as a company and need to have all these pieces touching each other, we know that a product's not going to get it done. We're going to need a platform. So I'll walk through the four things they have here and let Kristen and Becky kind of answer them. And then we'll bring it to you guys to kind of bring it up at the end. Kristen, the first one on here is execute a hybrid approach from top to bottom. What are they covering here?
Yeah, so this really speaks to project management methodologies. So in order to be effective, you really need to be able to handle the different methodologies that different organizations are utilizing. I think most individuals who have been in project management recognize that while Agile is a great methodology, it can be very difficult to go full Agile at times. So that's why a lot of large organizations have adopted a hybrid approach. And ServiceNow really can handle all three. It can handle straight waterfall, straight agile, or that hybrid approach. And that's important because you need a tool set that is going to work with the way that you work. You don't want to have to conform to the tool set. You want the tool set to work with your processes.
So in this case, I think it's important for that hybrid approach because a lot of organizations operate in silos in that same way. So there's also organizations that says, hey, we make our list of things we're going to do for that year. That's very much waterfall. We'll pick those off that list. And whether it hits that bar, we do it. The interesting thing is, I mean, we operate a lot of that, Chris, if you remember in the past, where we would take that list of what needed to get done. Then we really bring it into ServiceNow. We break that into certain sprints and then build that into our Agile method. So we still hit the targets and it's still reported back in the waterfall that they needed to see if it was start and done. But the truth is we did it more in an Agile methodology. So I think a hybrid approach is neat because you can actually, without complicating things, report back to the different organizations and business units in the format that they wish.
And Kristen, you just did a project for one of our customers, did waterfall versus agile and the need to be able to do both simultaneously. I guess it's kind of hard to say agile and waterfall and simultaneously at the same time. The ability to do all the above, was that part of their requirements?
They actually utilize all three methodologies. So they have a portion of their portfolio that is waterfall strictly. They have a portion that is hybrid only. And they also have a small portion that is strictly agile. So they actually needed all three.
Yeah, interesting. Becky, any experiences that align with topic one here?
Kind of the same thing as Kristen had mentioned there. So lots of people usually have more than just one approach. That's needed. So it is great that ServiceNow does allow for all of those to be tracked.
Awesome. All right. Number two, alignment with business objective. I think this might tie into the previous one, but Becky, you want to jump on this one?
Sure. So along with the projects that are out there, there's the ability to list out what the business objectives are and to try to make sure that you're aligning to what those objectives are for that particular project. So on the actual project record, there is a lot of information that can be stored there and reviewed, and there's different approval processes that it could go through if you would like. To make sure that all of your team members are on board and making sure that you're following exactly what you need to do.
Yeah. You know, you just hit on something that struck a chord with me, and that is if we have it in this platform using this workflow, how easy is it to go back later and review what happened and how we got to a decision? Mm-hmm.
You can go right back and take a look at that and look at the approval process, look at all of the different people that were involved or the different departments as well, and be able to see all of that.
So
and then they roll up as well. So it could be multiple projects that you're looking at as well.
Yeah. Go ahead, Fred.
I was just saying, I think this goes just as much as we've talked about through all these podcasts, how much it's really about the buy-in and the leadership behind some of these things. I mean, the principle behind business objectives is who's driving those objectives. And now you have a tool that can deliver and ensure that you meet those objectives and dashboards and things that can report all that. It's really getting that information, make sure to follow the processes to lead you to those business objectives. So I think that's an important thing too, of to succeed in rolling out something like SPM, is understanding what those business objectives are and then measuring to the success of those.
Yeah, Derek, I know it hadn't been that long since you came out of the customer world. Do you guys have something like this? How valuable would it have been?
Would have been extremely valuable to make sure that you're actually working on something that's, you know, beneficial and impactful. So,
yeah. And along the way, your management was seeing it and having to approve and sign off on things. So there was no recourse if things didn't go the right way. They were there all along through the platform.
Yeah. I mean, that's really important.
Krista, anything else to cover on number two here?
Actually, yes, there's so much. It's hard to cover it all in one podcast, but just going into the business objectives, you know, we talked about the ability of ServiceNow to track your organizational goals. Within those organizational goals, you can map those to your individual projects. And then after the project is completed, you can also continue tracking those metrics so that you can see if you actually got the expected ROI out of those individual projects. And then you can take that back and look at your financials of the projects against the ROI and do analysis on that. I think actually the next bullet point might actually get into some of that with the financial.
Well, let's roll with that. How much you spent and how much you got out of it, that's got to be important. How does this tool help us do that?
Well, you can track both monetary and non-monetary benefits against each of your projects and what you're expected to gain. You can tie those in with your overall organizational goals and specific goals. And in addition, if you're using ServiceNow as the platform for running your business, which it absolutely can, as we know, you actually have the ability to automate the capture of those metrics to see if you're gaining the ROI benefit that you're actually expecting to see. And you don't have to go in and manually pull up information. You don't have to do manual calculations. You can actually automate the capture of those metrics to see if you're hitting your ROI targets. It's very powerful.
And as opposed to, I think, the way most organizations run projects, I mean, you've heard of Microsoft Projects and other tools like that. It's very niche, but it's really based on a particular project. And I think that's the neat thing about this as a platform, is that you're analyzing this against everything you're doing, maybe as a business unit or as a group or your project managers in general. Like, how are you doing as a whole? And I think get into the details as to time spent against a particular, you know, I say storage because of iJob, but a particular item that you're trying to address, and are you exceeding the hours you're supposed to spend in that area? Are you exceeding the hours you're supposed to do for a project? You know, those things can be noted and made aware a lot sooner in the process if the tool knows what you're going for.
It's real time. It's real time, right?
Yeah.
Becky, have you seen this in action before?
I have. So it is, as Krista mentioned, a very powerful tool. Again, not just one particular area, but it can go across and span, which is really nice.
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting, right? I mean, I've worked on projects before where, you know, it's really difficult. Sometimes you get so far away from the end game and it's really difficult to quantify the impact that however many hours you spent on whatever it is you're building had. It's kind of interesting to see that, you know, this could be something that really helps correct that issue, right? Where you can see your direct impact on the effort that you're putting forth to a project.
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, not everybody really understands what all that it can do. And so that's why we're doing these podcasts.
And Eric, in your past experience, fair to say you did the best you could, and where you had gaps, you just made stuff up.
What, with business value?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about making stuff up, but I think that what we could say is that we say what we believe at the point that we're saying it, right? And so, yeah,
I mean, there are gaps.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's fair to say some people make stuff up?
That's probably fair.
Yeah.
I can tell you there's more value in taking the data and the details and the actuals back to C-levels to show you, hey, this is what we were doing. And I have proof and experience in that, of taking it back and saying, here's the reality. And by the way, we got a little bit of project overrun, and here's where we can point it back to this particular area And therefore, you have a lot more intelligent conversations about how to move things forward when it's not on the positive side.
Yeah.
And it also really helps with continual improvement. You know, if you're expecting to get this value from this project and you look at the actuals and you're saying, oh, we didn't actually get that value. Well, what was the problem? Did the project go over? And why did it go over? Well, maybe this one particular area was overrun. Well, we can see that and we can make adjustments for that in the estimates next time. Or maybe it was had a higher risk than what you initially thought. And again, you can take those metrics, take that information after the fact in your postmortem and apply that to the future so that you're making better decisions, better estimates, better judgments going forward.
Yeah. That old adage is time is money and we need to get better all the time. And it all applies here, no doubt. Yeah. Becky, how does this empower the workforce? Bullet number four.
Well, it helps to make sure that everybody is aligned. So all of the people that are working in the platform can go into there and put in their information. So it brings in, whether it's different departments, depending upon what the project is, can all go in and fill in information or their information. And then you've got one spot to look at it. So it really helps everyone to come in and align onto that particular project or projects to be able to see.
Is it fair to say that if you own a project or you're managing a project, not having a tool like this would be almost impossible to do it right?
It usually is. So, and I think ServiceNow has done really good at bringing all the tools available. So not only just, you know, about the project and your objectives and all of your goals and approvals and the different people that'll be involved and project managers and business managers and all of those types of things. But also once it goes into a project, you know, it can go into the story pieces. So then your development team is doing different things into there. Your project managers are making sure that they're running and they're getting the data that is needed and to go back to the customer or to, you know, whatever department and let them know whether it's an internal project or an external project and know how things are being ran and what's being done weekly and where your hours are being spent and so forth. So everything is just basically there for you, which is really nice.
Kristen, how big a part of the last project you just did was this for the customer?
It's incredibly important. One of the key areas for them, or key pain points really, is the fact that people working projects are not just working projects. These people are working requests, they're working incidents, they're working different task types across the platform. So to give them a central place where they can go and see all of their tasks, all of the things assigned to them, work those things all in one central place, that was super important. And just to add a bit more to that, one thing ServiceNow does really well is give a different viewpoint for different types of employees. So you've got the employees who are actually working the task, getting out there, doing the work, entering their time. But then for the project managers, you've also got a central place where they can go to manage all of their projects. They can see all of their statuses, all of their risks, issues, their RIDAC logs, one place to enter status reports. For the management team, you've got one place to go to see your dashboards, to get an overview of how all of your PMO is functioning and where all of your projects stand. And then for the executive level, you've got your strategic planning workspace, where you can see how your projects are aligning to your organizational goals. Are you meeting those ROIs? Are you gaining the benefit from your projects? So it really empowers all levels of the workforce.
Is it fair to say that this also encourages like uniformity between your projects and your people?
Absolutely.
Sorry, yes. Becky, go ahead.
I was just going to add on to kind of what Kristen was saying. Sometimes as your development team or your project managers may be working more than one project. And so if you're looking and that your personnel needs to work on a sprint and needs to spend 40 hours, you can't really assign them on another project for 40 hours. There's no way that it's going to work. And so there's also a tool to be able to take a look at your people and be able to see kind of what all that they have and the hours that they might have available for that week for what they've already kind of committed to. And so it's really nice to help align that as well.
And we didn't touch on that. Skills mapping, resource mapping, and those type of things was a big part of that as well. But look, overall, the empowered workforce, I want to state this. I'm looking at Derek, and I look at Derek, I think Salesforce, which is funny, right? I want a ServiceNow podcast. The truth is, empowered workforce, ServiceNow can do a lot of things that a lot of other applications and even Salesforce can do, and the same can be said about others. But the truth is, where I think about ServiceNow empowering the workforce is that if we're doing projects out of ServiceNow, there's a lot of other tools and platforms that come into play with that, even from the sales motion. Salesforce may have a sales motion to get it to a certain point. It kicks off a project. Within that project, it may mean somebody has to go do some work, so it creates tasks. So it's that tying all the organizations together, even if they're in different systems, through those integrations and making it work together and notifying. And then the use of knowledge articles and notifications as a core platform, and all that can be used, Andy, to make sure that everybody's brought up to speed. It doesn't mean everybody has to be in that application or platform and others. It just means it's tying it together, making sure everybody's aware.
But it's not an accident that we have the ServiceNow platform. We have the Salesforce platform. And in many, many cases, we're going to find the two platforms coming together to create the workflows that the customer needs to get the job done as things move from maybe a sales to a different type of project and back and forth. That's what we think makes us special, even though the rest of the world's telling us you can't do both.
Well, if you have an onboarding project that you sold someone, it's sold through sales. I mean, from a managed services where we come from, we sold a customer something. We go and create the projects in ServiceNow. We onboard them. We do everything into the CMDB. We build all this to manage them. And then you go back into Salesforce and tell them that is finished and this is what the end state looks like. Then they know what the customer's landscape looks like. Usually they're in two different places, but now you can tie them together to help the sales motion and continue support and the delivery side. Yeah. So there's a good use case for Salesforce and ServiceNow.
Derek, any thoughts on this whole conversation around empowered workforce?
No, I mean, it's almost like my comment before was very similar to that, right? I mean, there's a change in the psyche, in my opinion, and I'm speaking from experience, when you really understand that what you're doing is impactful, and when you understand that you're in alignment with what the business is trying to accomplish, and without that, right, you can start to feel like you're hidden, unseen, people don't know what you're doing, and it can get frustrating. So I think that these tools, which is why I was interested to see what this was about, are really needed, I think, especially in a lot of the more complex projects and things that people are working on.
Yeah. I mean, you got to be able to think and justify, at least to yourself, maybe your management, maybe your company, you know, what you're doing at this very moment throughout the course of a week, a month, a day, hour, how it applies to the business. And this seems like a tool to kind of help justify that. Becky, anything we left out?
Oh, tons, but it would be like a whole demo or discussion. So there's just lots more to it. So is what I would say.
Is this part of the ServiceNow core? Is this extra? Like, what is this?
It's extra.
It's extra? Okay. And then I had another question. Is there any AI interwoven in this tool yet, or thoughts about that? I'm just curious.
So ServiceNow does have machine learning and AI interwoven into the overall platform. They're still rolling it out to some of the different tool sets. Right now, we see it mostly in ITSM and ITOM areas, but yeah. I fully expect to see more coming within SPM. Yeah.
So Derek, you see I've got the ServiceNow page. Like, if you just look through workflows and then all the different products per workflow, I don't know if you've had a chance to do that yet or not, but that's kind of how I get my head around, okay, you got the platform, and then the workflows, and then the subcomponents within the workflows.
Yes. Yeah. There's a lot of similarities to what I've been living for the past 5 years, but yeah.
Kristen, Becky said we didn't cover nearly enough. What do you think?
Oh gosh, it would take a long time to cover it all. But I do think we hit the high points, yeah.
Brett, was there anything you wanted to cover that we didn't cover?
No, I think I hit the main things I wanted to articulate, so I think we're good. But I did have one thing I'd like to share. Can I share something, Andy?
Sure.
Make sure it's not disabled.
Oh, you mean you share your screen?
Yeah, I was going to share my screen. It's okay. I was just going to share real quick a football slide that Chris and I and Derek, I think you just saw in the last call we were on, it actually shows where SPM sits in the overall scheme of ServiceNow. It's okay. We'll share another point.
Yeah, talk to us and let us figure out what you're really trying to do and where different pieces fit. And chances are there's lots of pieces of the platform that you need And it's another great example. I think Fred might've been last podcast. Maybe you were on, maybe you weren't, but we were talking about the number of applications you were able to collapse down into the ServiceNow platform. I think they gave you 200 and you found 70 that could be eliminated through the platform, and customer was ecstatic to find something they wanted really badly could be justified and paid for by reduction in other products.
That's correct.
If you're talking to a vendor these days about a product, not a platform, you probably need to stop and figure out if there's a platform to do what you're trying to do, then go back to your product discussion if there's not. Derek, what do you think about that comment?
Oh, yeah, I agree wholeheartedly.
But you're probably not going to be surprised to find a lot of our customers are still talking product after product after product. It's insane. But that's why we're here educating. Well, guys, thank you. I appreciate you jumping on and having this discussion. And I look forward to doing it again in 2 weeks.
Awesome. Thank you.
Sounds good.
Thanks. Thank you.